So I will try to present you, in fact, why the accretion ejection instability can be considered as a good model for the low-frequency QPO in microcrazes. So here is just a 2D simulation of this instability. I will just briefly present an overview of the basic of this instability. What is this, the ejection ability that there is accretion ejection, and why it's considered as a good model for those low-frequency QPOs. If I have some time, I will talk about the magnetic float scenario that was made to explain the one observation that is a recurrence of a GRS 1915 plus 105, and conclude briefly. So this, it's an MHD instability that appears in a magnetized accretion disk. It requires to have a field of the order of equipartition in the inner region of a disk, equipartition between the gas pressure and the magnetic pressure. So the beta, plasma beta, 8 pi p over b squared of the order of 1. And it also requires the topology that is the one of all the basic MHD models, like Blanford and Payne, Peltier and Pudrytz. It's also unstable for all the self-similar models, so all the criteria is always fulfilled. And as the simulation I saw before, 2D is enough to do the simulation. You don't need, because as in galactic spiral, you can do the simulation without 3D. So this instability, it's a spiral instability. So as soon as you have equipartition in the inner part of the disk, you get these spiral waves that develop. And these spiral waves couple, because the disk is in the differential rotation, this spiral wave, there is a moment where these spiral waves goes at the same speed than the gas. It's the co-rotation. And at this co-rotation, red eye, this spiral wave coupled with a Rossby vortex and can transfer the energy and angular momentum that was transported in the inner region of a disk. Therefore, you have low accretion. And it's stored in this Rossby vortex. This Rossby vortex has the property of twisting the foot points of a field line and therefore launching the energy and angular momentum toward the corona above the disk by the means of Alphen waves. So that's, if you have questions, I will be happy to answer them after, but I really won't just present very the basic of this instability. The important property are that the most of the time you get an m equal 1 spiral, a one-arm spiral, and the frequency of this spiral is of the order of 0.1 to 0.3, the rotation frequency at the inner edge of the disk. So it's very nice frequency, good order of magnitude to go with the low frequency QPO in microcrazes. The fact that the disk in rotational differential rotation and differential vorticity in this disk, we took Keplerian disk, and we also add a pseudo-Newtonian potential to mimic some relativistic effect. So you get this coupling by this, an unstable coupling with a Rossby vortex. And so you have this spiral wave that allow accretion but transferring energy and angular momentum. This energy and angular momentum is stored in this vortex at the co-rotation. And in the case we have a low-density corona, this energy and angular momentum can be transferred upward by the means of Alphen wave. Therefore, we have accretion by these spiral waves, and we send toward the corona enough energy to power a wind or a jet. So how did we get the efficiency of this mechanism to launch energy, the accretion energy? So we use a variational form. The color-coded is exactly that. So it's in all of the energy of the system. And if we have an imaginary term, it's an amplification or a damping of the waves. And from that, we were able to compute the efficiency of the mechanism, which means the ratio of the energy which is emitted toward the corona divided by the energy that has been removed from the inner edge of the disk. And we see that in the case of the X-ray binaries, this term is very big, and it can just balance the magnetic braking to become a very efficient mechanism. So this has been done in linear only. So this order of one just means that it's going to be big, and we really need to go to numerical simulation to have a nonlinear part of it and see an exact number. So now I just want very briefly to go through a point that makes this instability a good model for the low-frequency QPO of microcrazes. First of all, the frequency the frequency of these spiral waves is the same order of magnitude that the frequency of the low frequency QPO. How can we explain the long stability in time of this low, low frequency QPO? The fact that we have this coherence large structure as the same as in galaxy is able to explain those. An important point, in fact, in the QPO model is the fact that this QPO modulates a huge amount of flux. It's most of the time up to 20. It can go up to 40% of the flux. So what we did from the numerical simulation that I saw, that I showed earlier, we did synthetic observation, putting in the typical case of a microquasar. And from a very simplified 2D model with hydrostatic equilibrium, we obtain up to 10% of the modulation of the RMS amplitude. So 10% is not enough to explain the QPO as it is now, but it was a very simplified model. So we hope by going to 3D, we will be able to have more than 10% and go up to the observation level. Another problem, not really a problem, another thing about this with QPO is the fact that the frequency of the QPOs is correlated with the soft flux, the X-ray flux of the disk, supposed to be coming from the disk in X-rays. But it's also appearing only when you don't really see that disk. It's the other component, the power law component, supposed to be the corona, what's above the disk, which dominated. So it's difficult to have both of them at the same time, because you say that this QPO is coming from the disk, highly correlated with the disk. But we don't see the disk, or not much. So we compare, in fact, the prediction of the frequency of the QPOs for different type of disk using analytic solution. And we really succeed to reproduce this comparison. And the fact that this disk is always almost not there in the observation, the way is that in this accretion ejection instability, the accretion energy is not deposited locally like turbulence, but it's transported by the wave. Therefore, there is no heating of the disk locally. And therefore, the disk is cooling down. Because the disk is cooling down, you don't see it anymore in X-rays. So it's a nice way to explain, at the same time, the correlation with the soft flux and why the soft flux is always very small in this case of microquasars. There is also the fact that the QPOs is linked to the presence of a jet in the system. The fact that this accretion ejection instability is in fact able to link naturally by the ejection part the presence of these QPOs with the transfer of energy upward, therefore linking the presence of the disk and the jet. And we also, one of the points is the temporal lag. I don't want to enter into detail. If someone has a question about them, we'll be happy to answer. I will just forget about that one. And so this is one observation. This state is the second most often state in which we can find the GRS 1915 plus 105. It's my conclusion, transparency. So the idea was, if we consider that this accretion energy, this accretion ejection instability, is a good way to explain these low frequency QPOs. Is there something that we can say about this system, about this object in which we are observed, by just taking, say, okay, this instability is the reason why we have QPOs. If we go beyond that, what can we say? So we try to explain with the magnetic flood scenario this observation. So this observation is, this is the high state. You have a sharp transition to the low state. During all of that time, you have a QPOs. In fact, the QPO begins just before the transition. We have one observation in which we were able to see exactly what was happening there. Here, you have, at this peak, you have the emission of this infrared radio blob that we can follow. And you go back to the high states. So the way we succeed to look at that with this idea of the accretion ejection instability is the reason for the QPO is saying. You have a high state, you just have turbulence in the disk. Say, for example, the magnetorotational instability is in the disk. And you have accretion of magnetic flux that is toward the inner edge of the disk. So the beta decreases. There is a moment where beta is going to be of the order of 1 in the inner edge of the disk. And therefore, this accretion ejection instability can turn on. You have a QPO will appear. And at the same time, the accretion energy and angular momentum are not transported by the spiral, by turbulence, but by the spiral waves. You have no heating of the disk. The beta will decrease even faster. You will have this QPO even bigger. And you're going to get a sharper transition because this is going to go on and on. And so you have a sharp transition. And after some time, so you go through this transition, you reach a steady state. And if, once you arrive to that moment, it's taking too much time to explain how you go from here to here. So the last step is that if you have reconnection events, a change in the magnetic configuration here, that can launch jets. In fact, you see that the disk, because of this magnetic configuration that's going to change, will not be in the accretion ejection instability criteria anymore. And you're going to have a transition back to the I states. And but this is just, yeah, that's OK. Just a reminder of the points.
Any questions?
I didn't quite understand why you call it an accretion ejection instability, because if I understand correctly, the M equals 1 spiral modes that you see do not require the presence of a corona. They happen in two dimensions already. Isn't that true?
Yeah. The only thing is that the term corona can be misleading depending if you are on the observator, I mean, in the world of observer or in the world of television. By corona, I just mean that there is something above the disk. I don't, like, hydrostatic equilibrium just say that you have the disk at this thickness. I don't believe that the disk in a microcrater is in the total vacuum. There is something above. And you just need a very small density to have.
Yeah, that's a good physical picture, but the instability itself can be does not depend on the presence of that corona. It's not a physical ingredient in the mechanism, isn't it?
Oh, it creates the ejection part because you have a corona. Yeah, but without a corona, there will be
the just instability the will be part. There as well. Yes. But you wouldn't call it an ejection instability anymore.
If there was no corona, yeah. If the disk was in total vacuum, yes.
That clarifies the situation.
So it's an accretion instability that gives rise to an ejection.
Yeah.
I never argue about semantics. Ariane and Chris.
Maybe it's not a completely fair question, so don't answer it if it's unfair. But I looked at your papers with Tajay, and there was some reference to a previous paper where there was some simulation done of this. And in that paper on simulation, it says it's very similar to simulation that was done comparing it with magnetic interchange model that Stelle and Hank Sprut and other people may have done.
Yeah.
So my question is this instability in essence the same as magnetic interchange or not?
There is in fact other ingredients than just a magnetic interchange. This was the reason it's not exactly the same instability. But yeah, the paper you talked about by Stelle and Sprut were actually was published about the same time, and they saw in their simulation similar effect. And we actually wrote, we saw the paper on AstroPH, we wrote them and said, we are actually seeing that instability in our simulation. And a few years back, we did that paper. This happening just at the beginning of my PhD. No, it's not exactly the same instability.
The thing is related because we were talking mostly about interchange instability, but there's also a small-scale thing that they're easily stabilized by the shear flow.
There's a lot of observational evidence that has the low frequency QPOs linked to the higher frequency QPOs. Is there a way in your model to excite high frequency QPOs as well?
For the moment, it's totally unpublished. We are working on the last detail. But for the moment, we have been really working just on microquasars, where most of the time when there is a low-frequency QPO, you don't really see a high frequency at the same time. But yeah, for the case of neutron stars, you see them most of the time at the same time. So, but we are working on that, and hopefully to have that before, like, say, the end of the year, or something at least on it.
Okay, thank you very much, Peggy. And let's thank all of you.